Today, Jill Briscoe asks, how are you spending your time? Everyone has 24 hours in their day. Are you using them for the most important things or just frittering it away? More from Jill in just a moment. Right now, we have some exciting news to share with you. Some generous friends have stepped up to offer an additional $20,000 matching grant that will double your gift today. This is such a blessing because Telling the Truth's financial year ends tomorrow, June 30th, and it's so important that we finish strong to continue helping more people experience life in Christ. Your gift today will now be worth twice as much to help keep Telling the Truth on the air and online to reach more people around the world with the light of Jesus. So whether you've given before or today is your first time, thank you for your quick and generous response. As thanks for your gift, we're excited to send you Stewart's two-message series, Let Your Light Shine, to help you shine as brightly as possible for Christ in our dark world. Call now to have your gift doubled by the match. And when you do, remember to request your copy of Let Your Light Shine as our thanks. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's hear from Jill and her message, Discretionary Time.
Today, we're going to be thinking about discretionary time. I want to talk about our discretionary time. For Solomon, it was all discretionary. He was king. He could have sat on his throne, never done a thing. So he had the choice of what to do with his time. And some of us don't have that much choice about some of the things we do with our time. If you have children, then you really don't have too much of a choice unless you're going to be arrested and put into jail for neglecting your duty and your responsibility and the job that you have chosen originally but cannot choose anymore because you have it. You're stuck with it. And they're stuck with you. However, Solomon was in a different situation. Everything he did with his life, he had a choice. And so it's interesting to look at his life and try and figure out what did he choose to do with his time. Now, he was a very busy man. First of all, politically, his job, vocationally, that took time. Takes time to be a mom. Takes all our time to be a mom. That is a full-time job. And yet some of us, out of choice or necessity, add to being a mom a part-time job. Some of us a full-time job. A vocational choice. He was governor, he was president, he was king, he was prime minister. He was a hands-on king. He got involved. That was the problem. He had his hands on too many women. But he was a hands-on king in other ways. He was an absolute monarch, took up a lot of his time. Our job takes up a lot of our time, a lot of our discretionary time, a lot of our vocational time. Secondly, he was accessible. Remember when the two prostitutes came to him? He was accessible at all sorts of levels. That takes time, and that should take time. I think we all ought to have a job, whether it be a full-time job at home, being a mom, or a full-time job at home and outside. We all ought to have a vocational spell of our time taken up with a job, vocational calling. And I'm including mothering in there as certainly a full-time job, whether you get paid for it or not. Vocational. But, you know, accessibility is part of life as well. Solomon was accessible. It always amazed me that he would try this case between two prostitutes. But he was judge of Israel. He was not only king of Israel, he was not only governor of other countries around about, he was also accessible to little people. That takes time. Always takes time to be accessible. I know how much time that takes because that's my life. I'm accessible to other people. We get on a plane and we go where we're going and somebody meets us at the airport and we put ourselves in their hands and we usually say, how can we serve you? We're here to serve you. And that's what we do. We have no choice of where we eat. We have no choice sometimes of even the sort of things we wear. It's chosen for you by the amount of what you're doing. We have no choice of how much sleep we get. We have no choice of where we stay. We have no choice of any remuneration that we might be given as an honorarium or not. We have no choice of the vehicle that we ride in. We give ourselves to be accessible to the people. And as they put us in the car at the end of 7 or 8, sometimes 9 meetings a day, and drive us to the airport, and me, you know, I'm like this, they give you a lecture. You shouldn't work so hard. I can't tell you the times they tell me that. And they scold you because, just look at you, they say. Now you're going on to the next people who are about to do the same thing to you because you're accessible. And they give you a little... Now, I'm a good mind to call those people. I have a good mind to call them and tell them not to work you so hard because that's not fair. Right. But that's part of being accessible. Stuart has a rule. Never take the phone off the hook. I will be accessible to the congregation. And they know that. And so we never do take the phone off the hook, whether it be for mealtimes or whatever, because he wants to be accessible. That takes time. It's very important. He was also, Solomon was also, poetical. He was a poet. It says here that he spoke 3,000 proverbs and wrote 100,005 songs. He was a poet. Read Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, his type of poetry. And he was a songwriter. That takes time. Let me tell you in very little way about writing. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, of making many books, there is no end. Very depressing verse for me. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the flesh. And somebody said to me the other day about the poem I wrote for Christmas that was Winter Without Christmas, you know, Christmas Eve services that everybody had. And one of them said, that was a wonderful poem. And then the lady standing next to the gentleman said, it just comes to her, it just comes to her. It's easy for her. And I didn't say anything, but I want you to know it doesn't just come. You know, you're not lying in bed and suddenly all these wonderful words float into your head and you just write them down, take it to church and somebody does it out. No, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the flesh. Many times people meet me and say, I read your book while I was feeding the baby, or I read your book in half an hour. And I think, oh, it took me a year to write that book. How depressing. But I want you to know it doesn't just come. It does not just come. You work for it. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the tongue and how words come to us and how hard it is to work for the right words. And Solomon worked for it. He tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You read it sometime. And you know, when you have gift, that takes time. And we must use time for our gifts and our talents, because our talents come to us like a diamond that needs to be polished and worked on. I remember being in Kimberley in South Africa, where all the diamonds come from, and this great big hole, a mile deep. Somebody found a hill, and two little boys were playing on the hill, and they found a great big chunk of something that looked like nothing, and they played ball with it. And they rolled it to one another, and somebody walked by and picked it up and realized it was the biggest diamond in the world. Those poor little boys got their diamond, their ball taken off them. They could have been the richest people in the world. And that hill became a hole. It's amazing what motivation does, or greed. A mile deep. That's Kimberley, South Africa. And we went to see the hole that was a hill. And in their museum, we saw some diamonds they still find in that hole. And, you know, they just looked like pieces of earth. Muck, dust, dull, nothing. And that's what gifts and talents that God gives us are like. And it takes time to work a diamond. A lot of time. And we should spend time doing that. Solomon did. And then there's your spiritual gifts. He was a preacher. Ecclesiastes was written, we believe, by Solomon. Most people believe by Solomon. The words of the preacher, the words of the teacher. He was preacher. He was priest. He offered thousands of burnt offerings. Especially when he dedicated the temple. He went to Gibeon, built an altar for the name of the Lord before the temple was built. He offered sacrifices and burnt offerings. So he was mystical. He was spiritual. It takes time to be spiritual, and we should take time to be spiritual. It takes time to be busy in the temple like he was doing all that. It takes time to pray prayers, read his prayers. Solomon's prayers are probably the highlight of the prayers of the Bible. They're incredible, and I hope we have time to look into those before we finish the series. But he was also practical. He was a builder. He built a house for God. Solomon's temple, wonder of the world. He built a house for himself. In chapter 7, it says he took 13 years to build his house. Those of you that have built a house say, yeah, it took me that long too to build our house. Well, it might have done, but it certainly didn't take you. You didn't have the house that Solomon had by the time you were finished. Read about it. It's incredible. It's the description of it there. And sometimes in a Bible dictionary, look it up. Go to the Resource Center and find out what the house that Solomon built for himself and for the Egyptian queen was like. I wonder if he built one for all his queens. Can you imagine how big a subdivision that would be? He was a builder. He built temples. He built palaces. And when on earth he found time for his 1,000 women. Don't ask me, but one thing I know. Next time you think you're busy, read 1 Kings 1 through 11.
This is Telling the Truth, and today Jill is challenging us to consider how we use the hours in our day. We'll get right back to her, but first, here's a note from Pamela, a listener in California. I've been blessed by your ministry for many years. I appreciate the teaching from the Briscoes. Thank you for influencing my life for our great God. Thank you for those words, Pamela. Before we return to Jill's message, we want to share something very exciting with you. Some generous friends have offered an additional $20,000 in matching grant funds to ensure that we finish this financial year strong. Like you, they understand just how important it is that Telling the Truth stay on the air and online with hope-filled content to reach people around the world and help them experience life in Christ. And with the end of our financial year coming up tomorrow, June 30th, we need your support now to continue sharing resources that point people to the only source of true hope and peace, Jesus. This generous matching grant will double any gift you give to help reach more people around the world with the gospel. Will you help meet the matching grant in full and help point more people to Christ? As a way to show our gratitude for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Stuart's 2-message series, Let Your Light Shine, about how your everyday life can shine the light of Jesus to those around you. Please don't delay. Call today to request your copy and have your gift doubled to help share Jesus with more people. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill Briscoe once again.
Takes time to be busy in the temple like he was doing all that. Takes time to pray prayers, read his prayers. Solomon's prayers are probably the highlight of the prayers of the Bible. They're incredible, and I hope we have time to look into those before we finish the series. But he was also practical. He was a builder. He built a house for God, Solomon's temple, wonder of the world. He built a house for himself. In chapter 7, it says he took 13 years to build his house. Those of you that have built a house say, yeah, it took me that long too to build our house. Well, it might have done, but it certainly didn't take you. You didn't have the house that Solomon had by the time you were finished. Read about it. It's incredible. It's the description of it there. And sometimes in a Bible dictionary, look it up. Go to the Resource Center and find out what the house that Solomon built for himself and for the Egyptian queen was like. I wonder if he built one for all his queens. Can you imagine how big a subdivision that would be? He was a builder. He built temples, he built palaces, and when on earth he found time for his 1,000 women. Don't ask me, but one thing I know. Next time you think you're busy, read 1 Kings 1 through 11, and you realize that you have just as much time as Solomon had. And so do I. It's a choice to fill it. Now, that's a wonderful little piece on time. And as far as I can see it, Solomon enjoyed life to the full. He was interested in everything. He piled learning on learning. He used the God-given brains that God had given him, his bright mind, and he filled his time. But this passage basically is introduced just before this passage with the whole concept in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes that we cannot enjoy anything God gives us to do, to choose in time, apart from God. And he talks in chapter 2 of trying pleasure and trying building. And read chapter 2 when you go home. I built all this and I did all that and I acquired slaves and women and honor and fame and money and wealth and crown and gold and silver, etc., etc. And it was meaningless apart from God. That's the sort of theme of Ecclesiastes. You cannot enjoy anything that comes to you in the seasons of the time that God allots us apart from connection with God. Are you connected with God? And we all know people that are like Solomon. They choose with their discretionary time what to do, what job to do, where to go, what to do with their spare time, when to serve, what to do. And yet they're not connected with God, and so it's meaningless. It's empty. Then you come to grips with the fact that the seasons bring you events that you have no control over whatsoever. There are some things you can choose in the time that God allots you on this earth, and he does allot you time. But there are things you cannot choose, and this passage of Scripture explains that. There is a rhythm to life. Half the things that happen to you are good, half the things that happen to you are bad. If you read that list again, half a sunshine, half a shadow. But there is an Arab saying, all sunshine makes a desert. And life is made up of sunshine and shadow. That is how it is. And what we need is a perspective on time. We need a perspective on time, God's perspective. For even though God allows events to come into our lives, in line after line, this wise man is reviewing life's most basic experience and deepest emotions, and he is concluding that each has its set time. But he is all the time sensing, because God has set eternity in his heart, there is something beyond it all. God understands what all these events are happening for, and God has the big picture. God has set eternity in man's hearts. Men are always looking forward to what's happening in the future. In fact, Gallup took a poll not too long ago and asked Americans what they would ask God if they had a chance. 31% says, "What does the future hold for me and my family?" Another 16%, when will the world end? Another 37%, will there ever be lasting world peace in the future? Nearly every single answer had to do with the eternity that God has set in man's heart, with this sense there is somewhere we are going, there is destiny, time is for a reason. And at the end of time, there is the biggest reason of all. When we get out of time, when we wake up after the dream, I think of life as the dream, and I think of death as waking up into reality. And so the perspective that Solomon encourages us to have, and he had for most of his life, was his times were in God's hands. And as the psalm says, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. And he realized that there is a time for this and a time for that. God has a heavenly calendar for each of us. And each day he writes what he has in mind on a clean white page. The art of life is getting to the end of each day and matching up what you've been doing with that day, for you only have this day. You and I only have today. We do not have tomorrow, and we do not have yesterday. We only have today. And if God has numbered our days, I don't know what number this is, it will be a different number for every single one of us sitting here. For some of us, it might be the number before the end. For some of us, it might be who knows what number. But God knows what number. He has numbered our days. Therefore, we had better apply our heart to wisdom, to know what to do with that piece of information. That's what wisdom is, remember? Not accumulating facts, oh, God's numbered my days, but knowing what to do with them and applying your heart to wisdom, to use your days wisely. And so the priorities of discretionary time are ordering the so much that I do. So the so much I do doesn't order me. Numbering my days, applying my heart to wisdom. And what we've got to do simply is to realize that the most important thing we can do is to live our lives in the light of eternity every single day. Solomon was a very busy man. Most of his life, he was busy doing what he should have been doing. And that wasn't all spiritual. And the things that we do will not be all spiritual. But the practical things we do have to be done in the light and perspective of Ecclesiastes 4. There's a time for this and a time for that. But whatever I'm filling my time doing, do it knowing that it is part of the picture of your life. Every single one of us is going to have a canvas that long made up of the events of our life and what we did with them and how we reacted to them and how we used them to know God and to testify to him. And so discretionary time is every bit of time you have in the whole of your life. You have a choice what to do with it. And you cannot have a meaningful, fulfilled life apart from connection with the God who gives you your days and counts out your moments. I love that picture of him counting out my moments and my days. And he knows what number we're on. We have no idea whatsoever.
Jill Briscoe and her message, Discretionary Time, on today's Telling the Truth. It's amazing to see some of the things God has done over the past year through Telling the Truth to encourage people struggling with uncertainty, loss, and fear. And it's vital that we continue moving forward to reach even more people who need Jesus. That's why we're asking for your best gift today to help finish our financial year strong by June 30th. Your generous support will help keep Telling the Truth on the air and online to share the life-giving truth of God's Word with you and other people around the world in the year ahead. And for the next 2 days, your gift will be doubled thanks to an additional $20,000 matching grant offered by some dear friends like you. So if you've never had the chance to give, now is the best time to get involved and help meet the match amount in full. Plus, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Stuart's two-message series, Let Your Light Shine, where Stuart walks you through practical ways you can be a light for Christ to others around you. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Please call now to have your gift doubled and request your copy of Stuart's series as our thanks. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. And now, here's Jill to talk with us. Jill, why is our listener support right now so very important?
Hello, friend. The older I get, the more I find myself talking about the past. But as we approach the end of our financial year at Telling the Truth, it's clearly an appropriate time for reflection. Because of the prayers and financial support of friends like you, we've reached thousands upon thousands of people this year with the life-changing truth of God's Word. People like Margot, who wrote to us, "Thank you for showing me how to live in Christ and to die to myself." Praising God for another year of His grace. To help us encourage and disciple more people like Margot in the year ahead, some dear friends of the ministry have offered a generous matching grant. So I'm asking you to consider making a donation by the last day of our financial year on June the 30th, knowing that your gift to help people experience fullness of life in Christ will be instantly doubled. Your help today will prepare us to seize every opportunity God sends our way in the upcoming year, opportunities to help more people experience life found only in the Lord. I'm so grateful for your faithful support, and I know that this time next year, we'll have many more wonderful blessings to reflect upon.
Thanks, Jill. Tomorrow is the final day of our financial year, and we'd like to remind you that your support is vital to keep Telling the Truth on the air and online with encouraging biblical content to help you and others experience life in Christ. The wonderful news is that your very best gift today will be doubled by a $20,000 matching grant. That means that whatever you give will go twice as far to shine the light of Christ around the world with telling the truth. So if you've never given before, there's truly no better time to jump in to finish our financial year strong. And please remember, your gift will be doubled by the match. As a thank you for your generosity, we'll send you a copy of Stuart's two-message series, Let Your Light Shine, to help you see how your everyday life can shine the light of Jesus to those around you. Don't wait another minute. Have your best gift doubled today. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. That's all we have for today. Tune in tomorrow to experience life right here on Telling the Truth with Stuart and Jill Briscoe.